and welcome to another Learning and Organizational Development podcast. We are doing a series on career development right now, and we are excited to have another episode for you. Some of our previous episodes have been resume writing, cover letters, and interviewing. So if those are of interest to you, definitely check back to those. Today, we're going to be focusing on the UT process. So actually applying for a position through our internal system here at the University of Tennessee. And to do that, we are going to kind of talk through some of the preparations you can make, searching, how to actually complete the application, some of the next steps and follow-up that you can anticipate, as well as we'll just kind of go into some general myths about working in higher education, differences between higher ed and corporate hiring, some of those sorts of things. And we are lucky to have one of our partners with us named Jamie Hash. She's with us here today. So thank you, Jamie. I'll ask her to introduce herself and tell us a little bit about her.
Hi, friends. My name's Jamie Hash. I work in the HR department as a recruiting business partner. I have been with UT now for about 8 months, but I have a very in-depth recruiting background prior to joining the university, and just happy to be here and kind of walk you through what the process looks like and just kind of go over some do's and don'ts.
Wonderful. Thanks, Jamie. We're excited to have you. So just to kind of kick things off, if you don't mind, just kind of talking about some of the differences between higher education and corporate hiring.
Okay. Well, so essentially, everybody that has applied for a corporate position understands that when you apply, you tend to get a response back pretty quick. Whether that is a part-time position or a full-time position. Now with higher ed, there's a little bit more length involved just because we want to make sure that we have a very diverse pool. We want to give everybody an opportunity to apply. And also we have what we call search committees that go over all the applicants to make sure that we're selecting the right person. So higher ed does take a little bit longer just because we want to make sure that we check all those boxes off, whereas corporate, it's kind of fast pace and get in and get going type deal. But it's still a process that can be appreciated with higher ed just because we do take the time to make sure that everyone is looked at and is fielded correctly.
Wonderful. It's good to know that people are actually looking at every piece of information that's submitted. I know that can be a lot of work. So that's good to know. What about some general myths about working in higher education? Can you kind of speak to some of those that you've been aware of?
Definitely one of the myths that we would want to knock out with higher ed is that you have to have a degree. That is not necessarily true. A lot of things, if you look at some of the positions that we have, some of them will just say experience equivalent to or associate's degree or just kind of depending on what the position really is. We have noticed that there are other positions that as long as you have the experience and you don't have the degree, that's going to be okay. So, I mean, I would encourage everyone to apply. Even if you don't have the degree, but you have the experience, just to make sure that you are being seen. So definitely one of the myths that we would like to knock off is that you don't technically have to have a degree to work at the university.
Wonderful clarification. Thank you. Now, I want to kind of dive in a little deeper to the actual process of looking for a job here at the University of Tennessee. So we are kind of taking this from the lens of internal applicants. So we have this system called Taleo. So I'm just kind of, you know, curious if you can walk us through what that looks like. What is your advice? You know, if you're an employee already kind of thinking about wanting to find other options for yourself, what is the best way to start? How do you do that? How can you kind of get through some of those entry-level pieces of information?
Yeah. So when you're going on Taleo and you're looking on the website at potential positions, one of the things that we encourage everyone to do is not to restrict your searches. So if you have like a sales background or marketing, don't put in like the keywords of marketing and sales. A lot of higher ed positions have different names than what you would see in like corporate America. So I would just encourage to like go towards more of skill sets and kind of look through our sites to see if there's anything that kind of meets your skill sets, as opposed to just trying to narrow it down on one specific thing, because I can very much assure you that the titles are very different here in higher ed. So just don't restrict yourself in any way in that realm.
Okay. What about, you know, if, you know, again, assuming you're coming from another position on campus already, how can you kind of determine, or is there a way, what is your suggestion for determining if a position is what you're really looking for? Like if you're looking to move up and gain some additional responsibility, how can you kind of look through that? Because as you said, you know, every area on campus, it seems, talks about things differently. So how can you determine your skills and how they can be, you know, utilized in a different role? And if that's an appropriate role to even apply for?
So the first thing that you would need to keep in mind is making sure that you are out of your probationary period. If you have started a position and you have not been in the position for, or you've been in the position less than 6 months, we encourage you to continue to stay in that position. If you're out of your probationary period, the one thing that you're going to want to look at next, and it's one thing that we also look at, is your performance reviews. So if you have a good performance review and you're out of your probationary period, the one thing that you would need to do is when you're looking at these positions, look at and really read the requisitions that we have in there for you to understand, is this position something that is going to push you forward? Now, we do get a lot of emails with, is this going to be a lateral move, or what is the pay on this one? And we don't necessarily know the pay, but we can give you the scale if it's provided so that you can kind of determine if it's going to be an advancement for you or if it'll just be a lateral move. But if you kind of do your research on everything, you will be able to determine if it's going to be the best thing for you. But we do encourage, if you are looking to advance and grow, I mean, always speak with your immediate manager just to kind of see what kind of opportunities are within your department. And if you don't feel like there's a much of a growth opportunity there, we do encourage you to look at just around the campus to see if there's something else that might be a better fit for you. But we do provide all those options. And if there's ever any questions, we always encourage people just to reach out to the HR office and speak with one of our recruiters here. And we'll be able to walk you through to see if your skill sets are something that will be a good fit for a position that you're looking to apply for.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. You mentioned, you know, looking at different areas of campus. Is it true that there are other UT campuses also included in the search? Is that right? It's not just limited to Knoxville, correct?
Correct. So any UT facility that we have, you could be looking at UT Martin, the Memphis campus, and the Chattanooga campus as well. So if you're looking to maybe spread out and maybe go down to Chattanooga, for example, we do provide options and those listings for the positions as well on the website.
Awesome. Thank you. Can you talk a little bit about exempt and non-exempt? Are you able to switch back and forth between the two potentially? Or what does that kind of mean? And how do you know what to look for?
Inside the requisition, you'll see it'll, some of them, and I can't really say that all of them, but we're working to kind of make that more uniform and more clear. Some will say that this is a non-exempt position. Others, it won't say it. If you have any questions on that, you can always reach out to us. But the difference between the two would be the exempt is going to be a more salary position. So you're looking at that monthly pay. And then a non-exempt position is going to be your hourly pay. So you're looking at that biweekly paycheck. The difference, the main difference between the two outside of just kind of the when do you get paid is going to be kind of vacation time and sick time, just versus non-exempt will get X amount of vacation and sick leave, whereas exempt will get X amount of. So it's just kind of like that little difference there on the two.
Okay, great. So there's no rules about staying in one. Like if you are in a non-exempt position right now, you don't have to stay in a non-exempt. You could apply for an exempt position without any issue.
Yes, you could. And we've recently had some individuals that have gone from a non-exempt position over to the exempt position. But it's also, you just have to understand that you are going from a biweekly paycheck to a monthly paycheck. So make sure to budget correctly.
Good tip. That could be a big shock. So
yes.
Great. Okay. So now that we've got a little bit of that, can you talk a little more about actually submitting information? So, you know, you submit your resume, a cover letter, maybe some other documents. What, you know, what does that mean? Are there, I mean, since you're already employed, you're going to have previous resumes for the position you currently hold on there. Should you delete those? I mean, what is all that? Who's looking at that? You know, give us all the details.
And I'm just going to start off and say, listen, we understand that the system is kind of frustrating because you upload your resume, you upload your cover letter, and you would think in the perfect world, that's going to be enough. But then you hit the next button. And then the next button says, will you tell us what your position is now? So then you have to go through and you have to refill that out. I understand. I understand the frustration here. But I do ask that this be completed completely. There are certain people that when reviewing applications are only able to see what you write in that section. So where you think that your resume is going to be seen, your resume may not necessarily be seen at that moment because the person that is reviewing your items will not be able to see your resume. That's why it is super important. And I know that it's an annoyance, but it's super important to go through and go on and list out all of your duties that you did and what's your position, when you were there, is this your current, can we talk to your supervisor, yes or no? I know that those are, it's frustrating to go back through that, but a simple cut and copy does the trick as well. But we have to have that part filled out completely. Otherwise, you probably won't get considered just because we can't see your resume or review your cover letter. We're strictly relying on that information that you were putting in that application part. So that is definitely one thing that I cannot stress enough is making sure that you do fill out each field to its entirety.
Oh, I feel like that was like juicy insider information. I had no idea. So thank you for explaining that. That was helpful. I have found myself in that annoying like process of copy, paste, why do they need to do this? But I never thought about the reviewer. So thank you for that. What about, you mentioned a little bit about, you know, can you talk to my current supervisor? What does that whole thing look like? You know, when, if you are an internal candidate, do you have to talk to your current supervisor before you actually apply? Are there any moments where that's, you're not, you don't have to do that? Or, you know, can you tell us a little bit more about that whole thing?
I mean, it is a best practice that anytime that you are looking to move, you're in your position, that you probably need to sit down and have that conversation with your manager. Now, I know that sometimes the relationship isn't there and that you're scared that if you mention something that it could jeopardize your position. But at the university, we are very in tune with growth and opportunity. But also it's encouraged, like you need to speak with your manager because there could be something in like the pipeline that you don't necessarily see yet. So you don't want to really step away from a position if there's a growth opportunity within your department that you just haven't seen yet. And it's just not something that they're ready to present to you. So it's always good to have those conversations And to always, you know, kind of give a good heads up to your manager to say, hey, I did apply for this position. This is why, you know, what are your thoughts? And, you know, kind of what does that look like? Just because if you are internal and you move departments, we do a reference check. If you are internal and you stay in your department and you do a different position within your department, then we don't do reference checks. So that's why it is so important that if you're changing departments, we're going to do a reference check and we're going to do like due diligence and to make sure that this is going to be the best fit for both people. So it is great to have those conversations and to be very transparent.
Okay, that all makes sense. So thank you. What about if you, what if you log in and you see, you know, four positions that you're super excited about? Can you apply to all of them at the same time? Is there any, you know, should you as the applicant try to prioritize those, or what's kind of the thought process with that?
I would just say be intentional. You can apply to any position. I mean, we've seen people that have applied for all of the positions. We've seen people that have applied to one position. But it's just it's a matter of being intentional, reading through everything, making sure that you do have the skill sets that speak to this. Now, and it's also, let me back up just a little bit, because I do want to point out that like your resume needs to speak to the skills that you are applying to. So if you are a sales heavy person and you're applying for a sales job, then that makes sense. But if you're trying to go into a director role of HR and you have never been a part of HR, you've walked through the office at one point, but you like the title because it says director, that's probably not a good position for you. So it's just being very intentional and being very realistic with what your skill sets are. And making sure that you're applying for something that is, one, and I'm going to say it, sparks joy. And two, it's something that you see yourself doing and you know that you have the skill set, so that if you walked into that position on day one, you can sit down and know exactly what you're getting ready to do and intentional with the training. And it's not, you just don't want to go into a position where you're just trying to find, quote unquote, the better title to make yourself sound better. Because like I said, in the university, a director position can be high level, but a director position could be just a lateral move for you. So you just need to be very intentional on what you're applying for.
Great. What about during the application process? What's happening on the recruiting side and the search committee side that I should be aware of? You know, like since I'm internal, you talked about if I'm in the same department, there's not references, but are there other things, you know, if are outsiders going to know that I'm applying for this position, you know, that sort of thing? Like, you know, what is the recruiting team and search committee doing with my information?
So, once you've applied for a position and you're internal and you do not have access to Taleo, and like if you're outside of the HR community, you have a very limited scope to Taleo if you do have access. Now, if you're like, let's say the position's in HR and you are with HR and you have full access to Taleo, we actually hide those requisitions so that people don't know that you applied, and then you can't see who applied either. So it keeps it a level ground. Now let's just take all of that situation out and say nobody has access to Taleo. So you've applied, it comes over, and let's just say it's for one of my positions. I'm going to take a look at, and I'm comparing your information to what the requisition says. So it needs a bachelor's degree. Do you have a bachelor's degree? Do you have an experience that they're looking for? You do. Awesome. So then I'm going to take you and I'm going to process you over to the search committee. And then if it's a non-exempt position, then there's not going to be a search committee involved. if it's an exempt position, there will be a search committee involved and OED will be involved as well. So we are on our side looking at making sure that you are in the right situation before we process you to the next step. The next step after that is you'll go through the whole process of the search. If it's an exempt position, it's going to go through the search committee. They're going to meet and then they're going to go through all the applicants and then they're going to select the ones that have the best experience and would be of the best fit for the position. And then it would go over to OED. OED is going to make sure that it's a diverse pool, making sure that it's very equal across the board, that there's no like quote unquote favoritism anywhere. And then once all that's processed, then you're going to go through the interviews and then we'll select that one person. Then it comes back to us and then we'll start looking at everything to make sure that there's a social media check, to make sure you're representing the university well. And then if it's a internal, just a department change, we won't check references. But if it's without like you're changing departments, then we're going to check those references to make sure that it is still a good fit. And if it is, we'll make the verbal offer. And then once the verbal offer is accepted, then we start processing you through the system.
Wow, that's quite a bit of work that's done. I had no idea I was that involved. Thank you. That goes to explain what you were talking about at the beginning of, you know, the timely process, the more time invested. So great. Okay. So now, you know, we've done our side. We've applied. Hooray. It's exciting. The dreaded question, right? So what is a normal, if that is such a thing, period of time that, you know, from application to some information back, what does that look like?
Yeah. So it just kind of really depends on the position. So some positions, they need somebody immediately. So it could be a very quick process. So you're looking at less than a month. Some people or some hiring manager, shall I say, want to source out and get a full candidate pool of and give everyone an opportunity to apply. So they will actually post a position 3 months prior to when they are really wanting to start looking at applications. So it is a very lengthy process and it just depends on what that need is at the time. So it can take a while. So the Taleo is going to be your friend. If you ever have any questions of like, where am I at in the process? You'll just log on to your Taleo and it'll either say in consideration or under consideration or no longer considered. So if it says under consideration, that means you are still in the pool and you are still have eyes on you. If it says no longer under consideration, that means that the committee has reviewed you and unfortunately, you were not what they were looking for. So you have not been selected. It does take a little bit of time on that. So we do ask everybody just to be patient. We're trying new processes to help keep the candidates informed on where we're at in the process. And really, it just kind of comes up to the search committees because you're looking at people that are in different departments within the university that are coming together. So you're taking five people's schedules and making it to one. So sometimes there are scheduling conflicts, but we are being very intentional to try to make the best of everyone's time, that we're not like wasting anybody's time either. So we're trying to help those search committees form, meet, and make decisions. And if you are going to be moved forward to the interview process, to let you know, but also if you're not going to be considered, we also want to let you know as well. Also, if you are not considered, you will receive an email that says, thank you for applying. You're no longer under consideration. If you are going to the interview process, you will hear from the search committee when they do a phone screen and set up interviews. And then also kind of one of the main things is, well, I didn't get picked, so what do I do? Well, that's okay. That just means that somebody either in the organization or outside of the organization had just a little bit more experience, or they saw something different in someone else, so you weren't considered. But don't let that frustrate you. Just, you know, take a moment to reflect, you know, could I have wrote a better cover letter? Does my resume really speak to what I'm trying to get after? And did I speak on my skill sets the way I needed to? And then also just kind of how was I during my interview process? You know, did I stumble? Was there something that I could have said differently? Was I nervous? You know, is there something that I could have, you know, is there something I could take from this experience and learn and grow from it? And then also just always be checking back with Taleo, because we'll always have positions available, because as the university grows, those positions and more positions will become available. So it might be a no now, but it could definitely be a yes later. So it's one of those things that if you are very passionate about the one that you wanted, to just go on and do your research and figure out, well, what does the university really want from somebody for this position? Maybe it's as simple as taking an extra class to get certified in something that I didn't know I needed a certification in. Or maybe it is, I just needed a couple of more months experience, or maybe I could have, you know, joined a couple of workshops to get a better skill set ahead of me. So there's always opportunity. So don't ever get discouraged if you're rejected. Just always take that as a growth opportunity and to really just take advantage of all of the options that are presented, and just really just take those opportunities and kind of just grow from them. Because that's one thing that is amazing about the university is the learning that is provided for everyone. So if you ever see any workshops that are available, take full advantage of those. You may think that they're silly and that you don't have time for those, but those workshops are designed to help you grow. And those workshops are there to like really open your eyes to maybe something that you weren't prepared for, or you didn't even know that you could do. And that was my long tangent, but I get a little passionate about that stuff, so I'm going to have to hush.
Well, that was wonderful information. And thank you for speaking to, you know, what happens if you don't get selected. Because I think, you know, that's always a question on people's minds, that what's going to happen if I don't get this position? Can I never do something again? And, you know, all of those things. So I really appreciate you kind of going through that. And yeah, seeing something as a learning opportunity is a great perspective. And I mean, I'll just kind of throw on to yours. If you go to some of these, you know, workshops or whatever that you were talking about, that's also a way to network, right? And you can also meet other people that maybe have the same interests as you, maybe in another division of campus that you have never heard of. And maybe there's an opening there in a couple of months, or, you know, whatever. So that could all lead back to getting that additional knowledge and providing a pathway to the future. So that's great. Those are all of the specific questions that I had, but I just wanted to kind of give you an opportunity if you have any closing thoughts or, you know, extra things that I didn't ask you that you want to make sure to address in our conversation today.
Oh, let's see. Closing thoughts. I guess it would just be, you know, as the university is growing and as we are just going through the day to day, it is just one of those things that if you ever have any questions, or if you just want to like be a, like just throw something, just have somebody as like a soundboard, you can always reach out to any of us at recruiting. We're more than happy to look over your resume and to see if it's speaking to what your skill sets are. And I'm pretty sure that in a previous podcast, somebody has spoke about like what a resume should even look like. So if you feel like you need some work on your resume, always reach out to us. We will make the time to take a look at it and help you and guide you through that. You don't have to pay the fee on other websites to have somebody do that. We will do that for free. We are more than happy to look at that, because it gives us a chance to really get to know you and to look it over your resume. And we know all of the positions in the university. So we would be a great source for you. We can look at it and we can say, hey, VetNet has this position, or hey, you should probably go over to Haslam because you would be a great advisor, or, you know, different things. So we can take those look, we can take a look at those things for you. And then just also just always having realistic expectations on things. I know that it's a long process. I know that it can be frustrating, but just know that there is a huge army behind you, like trying to make sure that anything that we're doing is for the better of the university. So just be patient with everything that we have, and we're always here for you. And always reach out for those workshops. I can't speak of that enough. I just can't. If there's a workshop, it's provided, take it.
Good advice. This has been really, really nice. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. And we are doing this. We are doing these podcasts because we have heard from you all that you want information on career development and you want resources. And so this was part of our way to be able to provide that to you. So we hope this has been helpful. We do have other podcasts about career development. We have one on interviewing. We have one on resume writing and on cover letters. So if those are things of interest to you, please check those podcasts out. We also have a great recruiting team here in Human Resources that, you know, like Jamie, they are willing to work with you to, you know, help you along your path and your journey to where you want to be. So please don't hesitate to reach out to us. We also provide a lot of workshops. So if you want to take on some of those, we always have a calendar of those. So we look forward to seeing you down the road, and we appreciate you being here today. Thanks so much.